tune up.
Everybody out there.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. A good friend, Sandy Williams, is on the line. And before we go to the phones, you know, Sandy, this is the kind of thing that I'm worried about. President Biden also made, I will say it. I will look you in the eye and tell you, as President Biden looked President Putin in the eye and told him today, things we did not do in 2014, we are prepared to do now, he said. What? What? I mean, that sounds like a threat to me.
Well, I think in the context of what he was talking about economic sanctions.
Yeah.
That were going to be more extreme now than what Obama did in 2014 with the Crimea. And so that's why people were speculating, you know, does this mean he's going to cut off the SWIFT bank transfer access? Or, you know, what is the most extreme stuff that we could do that we didn't do?
Let's go to the phone lines.
Yeah.
Who do we have up?
Yeah, we got Dick from Madison.
Hey, Dick, what's going on, man?
Hey, Earl, as always, you make me feel tremendous. One quick correction, though. You and I are both 10 years younger, thanks to Pearl Harbor was 80 years ago. Isn't that scary?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm now 56 and you're...
67. But go ahead.
Wow, I love it. A long time ago in high school, I wrote a paper that I actually got a good grade on, one of the few. And it was about how at the end of World War II, when you were supposed to defend or something, the way it ended with, we all know, with the nuclear. And I kind of went down with what happened because I go, could you imagine if that genie would have been in the bottle until 1962, neither side used it, and the Cuban Missile Crisis arises, I'm thinking it was a deterrent because those weapons in 1945 were primitive. And as horrific as it was, look what it did to the war. I mean, it was terrible. But I honestly think it had a way of keeping us from ever using them again. We have weapons now that are under the wings of fighter planes that could probably do that. And could you just imagine in 1962 during the missile crisis if there would have been we wouldn't be speaking right now. What happened in 1945 was nothing compared to what would have happened in 1962. And I think it kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember exactly what I talked about.
So, Dick, thank you very much. I wish I had more time. Sandy, you want to respond to Dick?
Well, I just remember when I was about 6 years old, sitting in my dad's new car and pushing in the thing on the dashboard that was the lighter. I didn't know what it was, and I pulled it out. And then I touched the glowing red part of it with my finger and suffered a really bad burn. And I think what Dick is saying is that Hiroshima and Nagasaki were like learning not to touch the stove at an early enough stage so that... But, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were horrendous things that we knew were going to be horrendous when we did them. The history behind that now demonstrates that we picked those two cities because we knew the bombs were of a scale that they could wipe out the entire city. So I'm afraid that we are culpable enough, at least going in, that we knew the horror that we were going to create with it. But maybe he's right that the world needed at least demonstrably one of these horrors or two of these horrors in order to scare us off from doing it later with H-bombs.
Evan, who do we have up next?
Nope, that's it for now.
Okay, so Sandy, we're telling the Soviet Union, and why do I keep calling it Russia? We're telling Russia. Basically, it's just like China right now. We're telling as China makes a move towards bringing back, man, I'm forgetting Taiwan.
Well, Taiwan, yeah. Well, I mean, Taiwan and Ukraine are fairly comparable circumstances.
But Sandy, who are we, though, to tell those nations? I mean, is it our business?
Well, there is a certain level of is it, you know, it becomes the business of the rest of the world if a country starts taking sovereign nations that are its neighbors and marching armies into them and taking them over. If in fact you've got essentially freestanding sovereign nations that have been long recognized as such. Ukraine really doesn't have a history of independence. It was allowed by Khrushchev to become a republic within the Soviet Union when it was the Union of Soviet Republics. And they essentially created Ukraine at that time. And then it became an independent nation in the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. And that's about its history of being a unique and independent country. So culturally, it's that whole area is fraught with a whole different history than we are. It would be a bit like in the Civil War, if in fact the Civil War had gone a different way, and instead of the country maintaining its union, if it had fragmented the way the Soviet Union did at the end of the Civil War, and there were, let's say, 26 states that stayed in the Union, and Texas went with Spain, and Georgia and Alabama went with England and became their allies. In fact, England was sort of toying with being allied with the South because of the cotton, their connection through cotton. You know, just think what that would have meant to us, the 26 remaining states, as to how we would have felt about it. I just think we have trouble looking at the world in any way other than through American glasses, which are all about American domination.
But Sandy, the deterrent clearly is too great for, you know, to even think about the United States and Russia or the United States and China. The deterrent all of these decades has worked. It's still there, isn't it?
Well, the nuclear deterrent is. The issue
yeah,
is
that's what I mean.
If countries like Russia and China are basically playing a game and saying, hey,
Sandy,
is Taiwan worth a nuclear war?
Sandy, sure. Hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.